Well, hey there, welcome to another Radio Fishing. This is Fishing Frank here, and we got Robert actually in his backyard calling in the Fishing Report, and we're testing our remote capabilities today. So, hey, Robert, you out there?
Yes, I am. How are you, Frank?
Oh, yeah. It's cool technology. This is what
terrifying.
We're going to be using this to get the on-the-water fishing reports from the guys. We finally got it working. We thought we had it working last week. It broke down again. But Captain Cale and I worked on it last night. It seems to be working good, so we're going to see. Anyway, so what's going on? Where are we going to start, Robert?
Where would be the best to start? Let's start on the river, because it's going to start to slow way down since it was so phenomenal last week.
All right, let's do the river.
Okay. Well, according to Jeff yesterday, and you got the computer in front of you, so you can tell, but Jeff said it was at like 12 and a quarter or 12 and a half foot.
Really?
So, yeah.
Right. I'm going on fishingfranks.com, click weather and tides, bottom of the page, Peace River. Come on, Peace River, come on. Like everything else with a computer when you're not doing it. But go ahead, let's do the report as this page comes up.
Okay. Well, last week the tarpon fishing was just phenomenal because of the water flowing down the river. And if you couldn't tell by the tarpon, you could see all the leaf lettuce and the water hyacinth coming down.
Yeah.
It's a good indicator that it's flowing really well.
9.5 foot in Arcadia, which means that's a 7 foot wall of water coming down at us. I forget. I think that's 2,760 cubic feet of water per second at 7.5 gallons per cubic foot.
Terrifying.
That's a lot of water.
So, that it is.
Anyway, that's why everything's so brown and fresh right now. But, okay, what was going on? I mean, we had that spawn of tilapia, millions and millions of baby tilapia in the harbor or in the Peace River. And what happened?
Well, like anything else, you know, obviously fish follow food and they figured it out one way or the other. And they went up there and there was just every tarpon that was in the middle hole. And probably every canal system in PGI left and went up into the Peace River from up the I-75 bridge up to about the Navigator.
Right, from the water treatment plant right down to 41.
Yep. I mean, there was every day hearing reports of guys coming in, you know, one Captain Brian Ball, they did 25 fish in the air in less than 3 hours, and I forget how many he said they got to the boat from 10 to 150 pounds.
Yeah, I think you said they got 13 fish on that charter. 13 tarpon to the boat and jumped 20 some odd, or 30 some odd fish or whatever it was in phenomenal numbers. What's going on this week? What's changed?
Well, it pushed pretty much all those tilapia down. And they started to disperse or got eaten or died, one of the three. Not really sure because they're not in the numbers that they were. So now you've got tarpon from the 41 bridge going all the way back out to the 20-foot holes now.
So the tarpon have moved from the river back out into the middle of the harbor again.
Correct. And so have the ladyfish and a lot of catfish. Like you said the other day, the catfish are back in full force. They left for a little span there. They're back. They didn't miss a beat.
And I'm hearing stories of nice schools of Jack Crevel, the most fun fish in the water.
Absolutely.
1 pound of Jack versus 1 pound of anything else, the Jack is more fun.
Absolutely. If they could teach them to jump, they'd be the greatest sport fish in the world. You said that for many years, and I agree with you 1,000%.
Yeah, if I could just, you know, figure out how to speak Jack and say, listen, if you guys would just jump when somebody puts a hook in you, no one would be allowed to keep you. Be the number one most sought after game fish around the world.
Exactly.
They'd be protected everywhere. So,
yep.
Anyway, coming back down, let's do Port Charlotte Canals. What's going on there?
Port Charlotte Canals are doing okay. Some of the snook kind of got, you know, the resident snook, because really not many snook have moved up from the beaches yet, but you've always got the resident fish that are around. They kind of got lit up by this freshwater deluge because it's pushing over not just the tilapia, but all of the little non-native and native bait fishes over the spillways. Even though they've got them all under construction along 41, they're still flushing down.
Yeah, the Mayan cichlids are going crazy this year. I've never seen a year for Mayan cichlids. All the guys fishing for bluegills, shellcracker, and all that, catching Mayan cichlids. And the neat thing about it is the fish love to eat them. Great bait.
Yeah, they're great, great, great eating fish for us and for predatory fish. They're kind of a good thing all the way around.
Yeah, FWC's got its head up his butt on this whole exotic, not using them for bait, because, you know, if you take them from freshwater and throw them into saltwater, they're only going to live until the rainwater goes, and they're all dead anyway. So, you know, I think if they tell people to use them, you know, take the tilapia, take the Mayan cichlids, load your wells up, and then take them out for bait, they'd all be gone in a little while.
I agree with that, but the other thing, too, is kill them when you're done with them. Then there's no problem.
Right.
You know, you just get the lazy guys that just want to dump their bait buckets back in the water and let them go, and now they'll get eaten. Well, just kill them and eliminate that probability.
Yeah.
You know, no big deal.
So, anyway, but so the Porchetta Canal system's doing okay. How is it in the Myakka Cutoff?
Myakka Cutoff a little slow. Some of those big snook have kind of turned on a little bit, and then there's been a few redfish. Some of those redfish that have been hanging out over on the west wall have started to creep back up. And over around Hog Island, and some of those bigger bull reds have kind of broken loose individuals and deuces moving up in and out of the cutoff. So they're not there in great numbers, but you're catching them as incidental catch while you're trying for the bigger snook. It's not great, but it's worth it. You know, if it's a breezy day or you're worried about not going too far, because of these afternoon thunderstorms that we're having.
Well, your odds are about four times better than muskie fishing. So if you're a big muskie fisherman and you're wondering if it's good or bad, you know, I forget how many hours it is to catch a muskie, but if...
fish a 10,000 cast or 1,000 cast, something like that.
Something like that. But you're going to do... If you throw, you know, 100, 150 times, you're probably going to get a decent fish out of that. So
absolutely.
It's way better than your odds on muskie. But anyway, going back up into the Myakka River, that seems to be
let's
where...
Let's go back for just a second.
Okay.
Right there between the 40, well, between, let's say, the Port Charlotte Canal going over to the Myakka, getting a lot of reports of trout. Now, it's not anything in... great numbers, and definitely not sizes.
I'm in Frank's Flats there, yeah. Out in the ones that my dad, we kind of called it the Frank's Flats because my dad used to go there, cobia, trout, everything he used to fish there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's phenomenal, phenomenal fishing there. And it's kind of amazing because, I mean, you look from, let's take my town from where Grassy Point is at and go north to the 41 Bridge. There's virtually no grass there. It's all been decimated for whatever reason or another. But you take the grass flat or the canal going towards what's that canal?
The Ackerman.
That little creek. What's the little creek that comes out though over
Rocky
there?
Rocky Creek.
Rocky Creek.
Yeah, Rocky Creek.
Between my canal and Rocky Creek, there's quite a bit of grass there. That's kind of surprising.
Now, what I look for when I go along there is any of the bright green grass, usually that's where I'm going to find some redfish around it. And any kind of bright green grass, that's my key for where the redfish would be. If I don't see the bright green grass, I'm kind of lackadaisical in my casting. But when I see the bright green grass along there, I tend to fish that from farther away, working my way close. And I really work that bright green grass because that's where I usually found the redfish.
I like that. That's a new thing that I've just learned. I mean, that's a pretty cool observation.
Well, that's back when I was a charter boat captain, and I'm still a captain, but I just don't do charters anymore. But my whole thing going across there was I would push-pull my customers and always going towards the bright green grass because that's, if I was going to find any numbers, that's where they were.
Right, but that's still a neat observation because I've never really thought about that, but there is different patches and different colorations of grass throughout the entire harbor. Especially in that area.
Yeah, in that area, I mean, the grass is so green, it's almost chartreuse.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool observation. I like that. I learned something good and new today. What a treat.
Well, there's one patch of green grass that has a real deep hole right behind it, and I'm not willing to share it yet, but I will share it eventually. But I would nose the boat up there and toss right behind there, and I'm literally... There's 3 to 6 inches of water between me and the hole, but that hole is 6 feet deep back there. And when the tide drops down like that, all the reds and the snook all drop into that hole, and it's literally fishing in a barrel.
Oh, there you go. That's pretty good stuff.
But to give you guys a clue, you're going to have to work for it, but it's right behind a patch of bright green grass. So
nice.
Yeah, that's something. I mean, hey, I got him close, and I gave him the clues. You know, it's like one of those board games. You know, you just got to figure out the last little bit of it.
Well, not only that, but it's like anything else. You got to put your time into it. Nothing is just handed to you. And like the teenagers nowadays think everything's given to them. Sometimes you got to work at it to appreciate it and actually have it stick.
Yeah, nothing. If it's worthwhile, you should have to work for it. Otherwise, you don't really care because it was too easy.
Right.
So,
won't appreciate it at all.
All right. Well, I'm going to work the outside of Hog Island. I've heard of a little bit of redfish over there, but actually, as you get out a little deeper off the island, a little bit of other fish out there yet.
Yeah, I've been hearing of some incidental pompano. Your jacks are still kind of sporadic over there because there are a lot of little glass minnows. And some thread fins and some white bait, pilchards, greenbacks, whatever you want to call them. Same animal.
Yep. What's the difference between a white bait and a pilchard, Captain Kale? Never mind. Go ahead.
Some incidental Spanish mackerel. Spanish mackerel are starting to show up, but they're really, really spotty. And I think they're following the tide line more than anything else. I think the incoming tide is going to be better than the outgoing tide. If you move up the center of the Myakka River there, there's still plenty of tarpon around, lots of catfish and ladyfish. As you get closer to, like, from Tippecanoe to El Jobim, there has been some better numbers of redfish, but they're not schooled. You know, there's 2 to 6 fish in a little group here and there, working those grass flats and right at the mouth of Tippecanoe along the mangroves. El Jobim is still doing fairly well. With the snook, it's been a little quiet. It's been a little bit quiet because of
That's okay. You can do this. You can do this.
All this rain has kind of made it a little funky, and not a ton of guys have been fishing it.
Right.
Not a ton of guys have been fishing it.
Well.
They have been getting a few snook there, a few redfish. The mangrove snapper bite's been pretty good at night. Nothing terribly exciting, but not bad at all. Working your way down towards Cattle Dock. There's been a good number of redfish right there at the mouth and just going into the locks. But I really haven't heard of anything else inside at all.
Huh.
I'm sure there's plenty of juvenile tarpon in there. I'm sure that the reds and the snook are up inside there, but just haven't had any reports up inside there going into Gulf Cove.
Gotcha.
Which is kind of weird. You know, usually this time of year it kind of lights up for the bass, the snook, the redfish. You start to get some good reports. Just haven't had it yet.
Everything's getting a little bit better. It's going to turn around and things are going to pick right up.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, this is one of my favorite times of year because every day it's changing a little bit more and a little bit more, so it's cool.
Well, if going down the west wall, I'm hearing scattered reports at the north end of the wall, much more so than a week or two ago. Seems to be if you can find a little creek, you know, there's Shoe Creek there and a couple other ones. If you can get to the mouths of those, you're going to find some redfish there.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, you know, the little creeks are moving. You know, we got so much water flowing out.
Oh, this afternoon, right. Now, this is 9:20 Saturday, 9/27, 2014. And from noon until 6, we're gaining over a foot of water. It's low at noon, high at 6. You got a great incoming tide all afternoon. And today would be a great day to be out there. If you're listening right now, quit listening. Switch over to your phone and go get your boat because this is a great afternoon to fish.
Absolutely. And it's beautiful out. It's blowing about 5 maybe.
Yeah.
Right now, 5 to 10 probably over on the open water. Be killer. As you work your way down the west wall, like you said, hitting all the mouths of the creeks. As you get further south is when you start to get into more of a mixture of snook. Snook and reds are kind of piled up in a lot of those little creeks and canals, but the snook they're on the move. You know, they're not sitting stationary right now because they're trying to figure out where they want to start staging up for their fall run to move up into the rivers and the canals and stuff. So you might hit a super dense population of snook at, say, the mouth of Muddy Bay, catch a bunch of them, come back there an hour later, same tide conditions and everything, and not see or catch a single fish, because they are moving around quite a bit.
Yeah, trying to find where they're going to hang out for the winter. Some will stay along the beaches and intercoastal until we get our first actual cold drops. Once it starts getting, we get an air temp in the 70s, that's going to bring them all up. But right now, it's still so warm. They're scattered from all the way up the Peace River, all the way out to the Gulf of Mexico. And until it gets really, until we get a really hard cold spell, they're just going to stay scattered. And they're going to be moving around looking for food and places to hang out.
Absolutely.
But the warmer water of the harbor and the canals and the river will bring them up as soon as we actually get a cold front. But these cool fronts are just keeping them, okay, well, let's hang out here. Now let's go over here and see if there's some food. Let's go over here. You know, this is their time of year to vacation and just kind of meander around. They're not spawning. They're not doing anything but just hanging out and eating.
Yeah, they're just feeding, trying to build up that fat reserve to get ready for what potential winter we'll have.
So,
you know, the biggest mistake that people think of is, you know, and I'll use it as a perfect example, is crappie fishermen. You know, we get that one good cold snap should happen around the full moon, maybe, of October. But it'll be a super minor one. It'll be quick, in and out. Everyone thinks, okay, now this morning, hey, it hit 68 degrees this morning. It's still going to get up to 88 that day, but it's 68 in the morning. They all of a sudden think all these fish are going to get super excited because it's so nice and chilly out. But what happens when you take an ice cube and drop it into a cup of hot coffee? Nothing. It melts and it's still a hot cup of coffee.
It,
you know,
just
air temperature doesn't affect it that drastically. So those fish don't all of a sudden go from the beaches to up into the canals overnight.
Right. It's water temp changes much slower, much, much slower. It takes what can happen in one day in air temperature would take a week to do in water temperature.
Absolutely.
Without having like a volcano or an ice age, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Day after tomorrow type thing.
Right. You know, if we're not dealing with the day after tomorrow, it everything changes very, very slowly in the water. But getting around Cape Hayes, I've heard pompano, Spanish mackerel, redfish, snook, big snappers.
Yeah, that whole area actually, from right there at Cape Hayes, moving out to the center kind of the harbor, basically, heading kind of over towards Boquilla, I guess, using that for a landmark.
Yeah, going south to Boquilla or east towards Burntstor, and a lot of schooling fish out there.
Yeah, that's where you got that weird tide line going on that we've always talked about this, you know, throughout the years. But the coolest part that's going on out there right now in that open water is there's Spanish sardines, schools of them.
The best bait in the world.
Absolutely.
I can't tell you how much better it is than anything else I've ever used.
Absolutely.
I mean, white bait, shrimp, pinfish, all that, it's all good and it all has its time and its place. There's no perfect bait. But if I had to pick one bait to fish with the rest of my life, it would be those, you know, live Spanish sardines. I've never seen anything catch fish like that.
No. And they do pretty well on the live well. As long as you don't overload it, they actually do pretty darn well in it.
Yeah, if try and get a lot of volume and low pressure.
Right. Yeah, you got to slow the...
I turn
my
spray
heads. You want a lot of water
flow,
but you don't want to...
Yeah, I turn my spray heads up when I had spray heads. Now I just have... I don't use spray heads on my live wells anymore. My hoses come right up in, and then I have a cover over them to divert the water, but they're under no pressure whatsoever. I use very high volume, and so the 500-gallon-hour pump is not reduced down to 100 gallons an hour. It's straight out, just in it. Then I have the water come in at the bottom of the live well, and I have the drains, you know, obviously at the surface to keep the water level, and that gives me a really nice flow. And then I use a pump that takes the water from the tank itself and puts it back in. If I need more oxygen, I use that as a spray head. But all my intake pumps from putting the water into the well are under no pressure anymore. I gave up on the whole pressure thing because the sardines, the thread fins, all these fish, it blows the scales off and makes it too hard. They don't live well.
Right. Absolutely.
So, anyway.
So around all those schools of sardines out there, the fish are really, really iffy. They're spotty. They're jumping literally from one bait pod to the next bait pod. So you'll see a couple pops or blow-ups here and then nothing, and then a couple pops and blow-ups over there. And it's Spanish, it's ladyfish, it's jacks,
sharks,
runners.
I'd be taking a skitter walk there if it was me, using that surface lure, the Rapala skitter walk, and just work the snot out of it by those pods of bait and get those fish to blow up on that top water, because they'll hit it. It's an erratic bait going through that other school. But you've really got to work the tar out of it. I mean, just really keep it going, lots of splashing, and make it stop every 5 feet. Just stop the thing and then just kick it again. I mean, really walk the dog with it as hard as possible, short and hard strokes.
Right. Absolutely. You know, it's going to be frustrating, but when it happens, it's the most exciting, exhilarating thing in the world.
Oh, yeah, because you never know what you're going to hit. It could be a shark, it could be a jack, a ladyfish, a mackerel, whatever, but even tarpon. I mean, you get that skitter walk going across top there, and it is just going to be explosive. But going back up along the front of Bull Bay and Turtle Bay, you still got a little bit of that stuff going on, not like it has out in the middle. I heard a couple of trout out on the flats on Turtle Bay.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing as it is up by the beach. There's a mix of little ones where you're going to bend the rod and have a good time. They're just not great quality and not super good numbers, but enough to actually target them. You know, and then you're getting the incidental redfish and the incidental snook, because some of those snook and redfish are starting to move up in, checking it out, moving back out to the front side there of the harbor side of the islands and stuff more than anything else. But they're making little jumps in and out, checking out, looking for those little freshwater fish that are getting shoved out.
Okay, now I'm going to take a little jump back from Bull Bay and Turtle Bay. And in Bull Bay, what I'm going to say is a lot of redfish scattered all over the trees. Best not to anchor up. Just get your trolling motor on slow or your push pole. Work around the islands, and you'll catch a lot of redfish during the course of the day. But you really, it's a hunting thing now more than an anchor up and fish thing.
Absolutely.
And you got a little bit of trout and mixed schoolie fish out in the middle of Bull Bay. But I'm going to call the best fishing in Bull Bay right now for the redfish, and just pick an island or a shoreline and go along it slow, casting, and you got to find that fish. You're going to get one here, you're going to get two there, you're going to get another one over here. But actually very good fishing, but it's not an anchor-up thing. Then I'd like to fall back for a minute and go to PGI.
Okay.
What's going on in PGI right now?
PGI has been doing good. There's the mangrove snapper bite. I mean, we can't talk about that enough this whole summer because it's been so darn consistent everywhere.
It's getting almost back to the 80s where the snappers are really making a great comeback. I mean, in the 80s, you'd hand somebody a bag of frozen shrimp and say, go down the pier and catch snappers. And
exactly.
It's getting better every year, just a little bit, you know, 2%, 10% better each year for the last 5 or 6 years.
Absolutely. Pretty impressive. Still a lot of juvenile tarpon moving back in there after running up the Peace River, so you're starting to see more of them.
I'm sold out of it, but that black and chartreuse rattle trap, we just sold out. Hopefully we'll have more at the beginning of the week. Unbelievable, the quarter ounce black and chartreuse and anything close to that, but that one is just going nuts with those tarpon right now.
That color is?
Yeah, it's all black with a bright chartreuse kind of side on it.
Yeah, I know the one you're talking about. I've just had so many guys buy so many different rattle traps this week that I can't keep up with which one was selling better.
Those guys that came in, they wanted to catch the tarpon, and they've been very, very frustrated. And I forget where they were from, but they come like every year, and they've never been able to catch those tarpon. And they came in, I said, here, just this will do it. And they accounted for most of our stock, but they went out.
No surprise there.
Yeah, they went out, and for the first time ever, are consistently catching tarpon. And the one guy took that one, and the other guy took, it was another dark color, I think it had some reds in it, and that was doing okay, but the guy with the chartreuse one was outfishing him 3-1.
Wow.
But at least they were to the point they were actually keeping score on their tarpon, and they were so freaked out that a freshwater bass lure was their best tarpon lure.
Yeah, it's amazing how people have that preconceived notion that says bass on it, or striped bass or fluke or something like that, that it won't won't work for our fish.
Well,
it's amazing how many of those lures are such good crossover baits, and so many bass baits.
For all you don't know, Robert has a very, very dry sense of humor. Like, my wife just had a major birthday, and we left. We went to a casino for a few days, and we had a great time. We come back, and there's pink flamingos in our yard. And he said, well, you know, now at your age, you know, you live in Florida, you have to have pink flamingos. So we used to go to the shows, and Robert would change. He would take his badge off that said where he was from, and they'd say, where are you from? He'd say, well, I'm from Indiana. And they'd pull his lure off and go, here, this is a great bass lure. And I'd walk up right after that, and mine said Shaw Harbor, Florida, and they'd hand me, this is a great sea trout lure. But that's Robert's sense of humor. He would go to the shows and tell the guys he was from somewhere in the Midwest or out west, and see what they say the lure caught. And that shows you how crossover 90% of the stuff is.
Absolutely. I mean, most of the time, nowadays it's not much different, but back, you know, 10 years ago, really the only difference was a bronze versus a, you know, a nickel black or a black chrome hook.
So, you know, it's just funny because I think between me and Robert, we have beat up the manufacturers so bad and ridiculed so much that now they're actually telling you when you walk up to the booth, well, you know, this will catch a bass as well as this. But I think that was me and Robert just actually ridiculing the industry so badly that we beat them into submission.
It's a good thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, why lie to the customer? Why fabricate what things do? Tell the truth to people, and they understand it. They appreciate it. People are not stupid. I mean, they know when you lie to them. And, you know, we've made a habit out of really just ripping the industry apart because we don't subscribe to the BS way of selling tackle. And it's just been a lot of fun over the years. For the last 16 years, we've had a ball doing this. But going down the east side, from Ponce de Leon Park, where there's a good population of snappers, you get a few redfish, a few black drum, but good snapper fishing right now, and a reasonable amount of keepers for the amount of fish you catch. But going down the line there to the Barge Canal, Mangrove Point, you've got some nice redfish coming in and out of the flats, but the only problem is there's so much water right now. The water is so high on most of the days. You've got to get up to the trees and try and get your bait under the trees. Now, as that water falls down, those fish come out of the flat working towards the sandbar as the water comes down on their head. Just picture if you were in a building and the ceiling of that building would come down. As soon as it got close to your head, you'd want to be close to the door. And it's the same thing when the tide goes up and down for the fish. So remember, a lot of water to the trees, a little bit of water out to the bar. And then going down the east side, what's going on the east side?
If you get closer towards Tyler Harbor area, you start definitely notice an increase in the reds and the snook. And, you know, obviously the mangrove snapper too, but even the trout out on the flats, they're starting to move around quite a bit more. And right now, they're kind of in that transition period with what they're eating. Lots and lots of pinfish on those flats. So use the pinfish, use them live, use them cut up. They're working phenomenally well. A lot of guys are afraid to use shrimp this time of year because there are so many pinfish out there. But the one thing I found, and you pointed this out to me, is the pinfish wrecking your shrimp creates more scent in the water, creates more agitation, tends to get some of those fish interested.
And
because the water's so dark, they're going by smell, vibration, sight a little bit. So having all those combination of things works very well for you.
And, you know, I'm a big one to match the hatch. You know, if this is what the fish are keyed in on and they've been eating them, but after they eat it for a while, it's like if you really love, you know, a sausage pizza, but after you've had it 5 days in a row, you're almost ready to look for something else. So
Absolutely. Sometimes
having that shrimp as that alternate bait is a great idea because, you know, you've been eating sausage pizza every day for a week, and now somebody puts an omelet in front of you, you're like, I didn't really want an omelet, but you know what, that looks pretty good. So
exactly.
It really kind of works that way. Now, we've covered from the Peace River, Myakka River, Bow Bay, Turtle Bay, and they're getting a little busy out front, so I'm going to have to halt the show. Robert, you're going to mow your lawn, so why don't we resume this after you've mowed your lawn, okay?
Sounds perfect.
All right, and thanks for listening, guys. This is Fish and Frank and Robert in our area fishing report, and we'll be back later this afternoon and round out the rest of Southwest Florida with the fishing report. But thanks for listening. Thanks for doing this, Robert. I know it's your day off, and I appreciate it.
Not a problem. Anytime.
All right, we will see you guys or catch up with you guys on the next Radio Fishing. And thanks again for listening, and listen for more reports. As you just heard, this was done over the phone, so we're going to be calling captains on the water periodically all week. So check in for updates. It could be a 1 minute, 2 minute, or 30 minute update from the captains live on the water. Look for the ones that have a time on it. If it's a time on there as well as the date, that's on the water report. So this is Fish and Frank. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you later, and bye-bye.